Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. In our continuing look at prayer, and you know, the more I look at prayer, the more it's all over the place in the Bible. I mean, just everywhere. There's so much to learn about it and so much to see. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So here it says that God's ears are always open to our prayers. It says his eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, which obviously is a figure of speech, right? It's condescensio. It's God doesn't have eyes and ears in the physical sense that man does, but it's a figure of speech. And it's communicating that he's always watching us, he's looking out for us, and his ears are always open. He's always listening to our prayers all the time, which is a great thing to know. We know that we are not to pray vain repetitions. We know that there are different types of prayer, and we know that there are different aspects. In Philippians chapter 4, I think we've looked at this before, but we're going to look at it again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So here, it's with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful when we pray. We're not to... It's not the words that we say, you know, it's not just saying, "Thanks God," or "I am thankful God," but it's really what's in your heart, right? Because lots of times you can say thankful, or people will say it, and, you know, it's just words. So it's thankful in your heart. So I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and there's a great prayer in here, and you probably all read this record before. It's about Hannah, and she was a woman that was barren, and her husband had two wives, Peninnah and her, and Peninnah had children and Hannah did not, and Hannah was mocked by Peninnah. And in verse 8, "Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli was a priest. The priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. It said previously here that they went up periodically to... In verse 7, it says, they went up year by year to the house of the Lord. I was reading in a book about Orientalisms, and one of the things that people do if they have a need is they make a pilgrimage. They'll go to and not just in Christianity or in Judaism, but in all the Middle Eastern religions, they would go to a shrine or they would go to a place where a man of God is. So it would be common for a woman who was barren to want to go there and pray about this. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So she's praying. She's praying because she's sad. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." So, I think in Luke, maybe sometime we look at that, but it said about Elizabeth and her husband that they were people of prayer, right? They prayed a lot for their situation. So here she prayed a lot, and she prays to God, and she says, Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts. And that's an idiom we see a lot in the Old Testament, and it does show up in the New Testament. I think it comes up as Lord Sabaoth or something like that. It's the word, but it means Lord of hosts. And a host would be any large group. And throughout the Bible, you can see where it refers to where God is the Lord of hosts above all the heavens, the stars, the moons, the suns, everything. Over other nations and armies and peoples and so on. So when it says Lord of hosts, it means he's in charge. He's over everything. So she prays to him. She says, Jehovah, Lord of hosts. She's recognizing his dominion over all things. And she says several times, at least three times here, she calls herself thine handmaid, which, you know, it could be a bondmaid or a slave woman. In other words, she's expressing her commitment to God. She's expressing that she's committed to God wholly and completely. And then she says, if you give me a man-child, I will give him back to you, and she'll make him a Nazarite. You know, no razor will come upon his head. A Nazarite was a vow that you could make free by free will, but there were at least two other men in the Bible that were Nazarites from birth. Samson was one, and John the Baptist was the other. John the Baptist was by commandment of God. I don't know about Samson. I don't remember. But anyway, you can look it up. It's in Judges. So she makes that commitment to God. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. So she said that prayer, but then she kept praying. She kept worshiping God and praying. And now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now that's cool. She did what? She poured out her soul, her life. She bared it all before God. She didn't hold anything back. She didn't hide anything, or not that you can hide anything from God, but, you know, I guess sometimes people think they can. But she poured it out. She poured out her heart. It wasn't prayers of you know, memorization or counting beads or lighting candles or anything like that. She just poured her heart out to God. It's pretty cool. Count not, verse 16, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. That's cool. She was no more sad. She vowed a vow. That's that figure of speech, polypetoton, you know, the same word twice. She vowed a vow, meaning she really was very serious. And she poured out her soul. Let's go to Psalm 62. one of the things we saw, one of the verses that Jesus Christ taught, he said, when you pray, believe that you'll receive what you ask for, right? It's an important thing to believe when you pray. And, you know, I think sometimes people pray, but they don't really believe. You know, they don't pour their heart out. They don't give their all. They do it hesitantly, or they do it, but they think, well, God's not really going to answer my prayer. You know, this woman was desperate. This woman was, you know, in the East, it was looked down upon if you didn't have a child. So she was desperate, and she prayed. And Psalm 62, verse 7 says, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Pour out your heart. He's our refuge. What a great verse. Yeah. Just pour out your heart to God. And a refuge is what? A haven. It's a safe place. It's a safe room. Today, people have safe rooms. I don't know. I guess they don't feel safe. But God is our safe. He's our refuge. He's our safe haven. We are to go to God our Father with confidence, knowing that his ears are always open to our prayers. We go to him with a thankful heart, and we go to him with an open heart, holding back nothing. That's how we are to pray. That's what Hannah did. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 38. There's so many great prayers in the Bible. And, you know, if you really take the time, and some of them are pretty long, but if you take your time and look at them, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn about how people prayed who were great believers and men of God and people that were faced with difficult circumstances who, you know, that's what they did. They went to God. That was their first choice. And so when you read them, just think about what they did, what their circumstance was, what they were dealing with. So Isaiah 38, this is about Hezekiah when he was sick. You could read about it also in 2 Kings, I believe, 19. But we're going to read this. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Wow, you imagine the man of God coming to you and saying that? It's like, you know, if somebody goes to a doctor and they get tests and stuff, and the doctor comes out and says, you got 2 weeks to live, or, you know, something like that. I mean, people get those diagnosed. Unfortunately, doctors are not men of God, so they're not always right, and they scare people. And sometimes people live. Sometimes they don't. So anyway, in this case, Isaiah is a prophet. You can be pretty sure that if God told him to tell Hezekiah, it was a done deal. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Wow. So, you know, he got by himself. He turned to the wall, which again is an Oriental idiom or something where you're off by yourself and it's just you and God. And he said in verse 3, remember now, Lord. And I think that's pretty cool. He says, okay, God, don't forget. Remember this. I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, or an upright heart, a whole heart. And I have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore And again, that's a figure of speech. It means he wept with great weeping. You know, he was really brokenhearted, I guess, in some respects. He was, you know, devastated. And he prayed a great prayer to God. And he says, God, remember, I walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart. I gave my all to you, God. I wasn't a half-hearted believer. I wasn't, you know, vacillating. I wasn't, you know, a 50%er. I was a 100%er. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, verse 5, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee, add unto thy days, 15 years. That's pretty good. Because, you know, none of us know how long we're really going to live, do we? We like to think we're going to live a long time, but we don't know. And it's cool, if you go back and read in Kings, Isaiah didn't even get out of the palace. He didn't make it to the front door, and God told him to turn around. That's how fast he answered that prayer. And I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city, because they were being attacked by the Assyrians. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, and the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sun, in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. So it was moving along in the day, and the sun went backwards. That's pretty crazy when you think about it. Mm-hmm. And if you go again, if you read in Kings, you know, Isaiah said, what sign would you like to see? And Hezekiah says, well, it's nothing for God to make the sun go forward. How about if he makes it go backwards? And so Isaiah says, okay, and he prays to God, and God does it. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. And apparently he had been sick for a while. And then Isaiah came in and gave him the bad news, and then he prayed. Verse 11, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. So, you know, he was sick, and he's resigned to die. I'm going to turn off the sound. And, you know, he's resigned to die. He says, I'm going to go softly. But then he prayed to God that prayer. Verse 16. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You know, that's pretty cool the way he thought of it. He said, you know, I was going to die, and your love, God, because of your love, you just cast all my shortcomings behind you and forgot about them and allowed me to live. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Yeah. When you're dead, right? He didn't have any delusions about an afterlife or going to heaven or anything else. He knew when he died, that was it. He couldn't do anything for God anymore. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. That's it. The only way, the only time you can praise God and glorify God is when you're alive. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. And if you go again back to 2 Kings, when God told Isaiah to go back in, he told him to tell Isaiah, Hezekiah he would get 15 more years, but then he told him to take figs and put it on the boil. And I guess that was the manifestation of a sickness. He had a boil. But it was a pretty serious whatever it was. Who knows? Maybe it was, you know, a cancer or whatever. And God told Isaiah to put figs on it. And they did it, and he recovered. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? And so it's pretty cool. Let's go back to Proverbs. But Hezekiah was confronted with a horrible situation. Proverbs 15. He was confronted with a terrible situation, and he prayed, and he poured out his heart to God. He poured it out, and he said, look, God, I did the best I could. I walked in truth to the best of my ability with all my heart. And God said, okay, good. You came to me, and I'll heal you. Proverbs 15. You know, and really, I know we've gone through a lot of things, and we pray for a lot of people, and we pray for ourselves, but really, it's that simple. You know? We pray to God, and we believe. And then God says, okay, you're healed. That's how it works. It's that simple. You know, it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Isn't that cool? The prayer of the upright is God's delight. When we pray, it delights God. It makes him happy. That's great. You know, so you think about wanting to please God or bless God, pray. He delights in our prayers. He wants us to pray. He wants us to come to him to pour our heart out to him. He wants us to do that. In verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Yeah. He's cares about us. We're his guys. Let's go to Psalm 86. You know, there's a lot of the Psalms, they don't say their prayers, but they sure seem like their prayers. But Psalm 86 is titled The Prayer of David. So we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to read part of it. And of course, David was a wonderful man, a wonderful believer, wonderful prophet of God. And he wrote many of the Psalms. And his heart was incredible towards God. What does the saying Acts? He was a man after God's own heart, right? So we'll start in verse 1. Stella, would you get me a water?
Yeah. Here, just take this.
Thanks. Verse 1 of Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. We could probably all say that. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. And we know that David was a man of prayer. And here he declares, you know, daily. In Daniel, when they tried to trick him, you know, it says that he went to his room and opened the windows and faced Jerusalem as he was his habit. He did it every day. He did it all the time. And they knew it. David was the same way. He says daily, rejoice the Lord of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. You know, he just lifted up his life to God. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So, what is it saying, James? You have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. You know, and a lot of people don't ask, do they? A lot of people either don't ask or they ask for the wrong things, because another place it tells us that we are to ask according to his will. But here he says that the Lord is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications, my petitions, my requests. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. You know, he says there are no gods like him, because why? They were surrounded. They were surrounded by people who worship false gods. And, you know, those cultures, everything revolved around their gods. And so if you conquered one country, they thought, well, their God is mightier than your God. And so on and so forth. And David said, well, you know, my God is the God of all gods. Verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And that's a cool thing. Unite my heart. God bless you. Unite my heart. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. You know, and God can teach us stuff, right? He can teach us. He can teach us how to pray better. He can teach us all kinds of things. You know, if we want help, he can teach us. He can show us. Who taught all the guys that built the temple? How did they get those skills and abilities and all that kind of stuff? Where'd it come from? And then he says, I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. And unite my heart means give me an undivided heart or a whole heart. That's what he asked God to do. To help him have a whole heart, meaning, you know, his heart is not divided by anything other than his commitment to God. to Jehovah. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, or with a whole heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. So that's another part of prayers. You know, we give our whole heart to it. You know, Hannah poured out her soul. Hezekiah poured out his heart. David talks about pouring out his heart. And that's what we do. So prayer is truly a matter of the heart. It's not an oratory or an articulation or memorized, but it is what's in your heart. It's pouring out your heart to him, being true to God and honest to God. You know, you're just there before him. Let's go to Psalm 61. Psalm 61 and verse 1. And this is another, this is a psalm of David. It doesn't say it's a prayer, but then he says in the first verse, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." So I guess it's kind of a prayer. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And you know, David, one of the cool things about David is he recognized that he needed God. You know, to the contrary of maybe Saul, for an example, you know, before him, Saul kind of got up on his high horse and, you know, didn't think he needed God or didn't think he needed to listen or obey, whereas David saw he needed God's help. "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Selah. A covert would be, like a niche, you know, a place where it's in between the wings. It's a place of protection. "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform thy vows." Man, he was so locked in. He recognized that God had the answers. He recognized that God was what he needed to succeed as a king and to live and be blessed. Let's go again to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7. And we're going to start in verse 18. "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man, O Lord God. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord, knowest thy servant." And you know, he's just saying, you know me, God. You know my every fiber of being. You know every hair on my head. You know what makes me tick. And God knows that about all of us, right? He knows us. He knows us. He knows every single thing about us. "For thy word's sake, And according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. You know what's cool? He goes, it's according to thine own heart, God. God's heart towards David was what? Tender, loving. He cared about him. And David knew that. He said, for thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. You know, he worked in David. He helped David. He taught David. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, which means awesome, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemed to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. And that was a big deal, you know, from their gods. Verse 24, for thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And, you know, you go back and you read about Israel, and the only reason Israel ever made it that far was because Moses and different guys stood between God and them, right? Moses saved them a couple of times from being destroyed. And then Joshua let them in and stood and confronted them and said, you know, as for me and my house, we stand for the Lord, and pushed them and was the example to them. And so anyway, so David, he was a great man, and he says, and now, O Lord, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, concerning this house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. You know, it's kind of interesting. Okay, let's read on. Verse 27, for thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee in house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. You know, he found in his heart. You know, it was all a matter of David's heart to pray this, and how he recognized all that God did for him and how great God was to him and how much God loved him. And, you know, it wasn't just, okay, God, I need this today. And the next day, okay, God, you got to do this for me. I mean, there was plenty of that. David did pray to him when he was in trouble or when he needed help. But he also praised God and thanked God and you know, proclaimed God to everybody. It wasn't just asking for things. And he prayed for the people of Israel. It was really amazing. And so God did that according to his heart. And I thought about that, and I thought about what has he done for us according to his heart. And so we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. My Bible just goes there automatically. And verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, or the heavenly realm in Christ, according as he, God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children or sonship by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. It was according to the good pleasure of God's will. just like it was according to the good pleasure of God's will, according to his heart, in accordance with his heart and will, what he did for David. And actually, he did more for us than he did for David, and does more for us than he did for David. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, he abounded. All the things he did for us, he did it according to his wisdom and prudence, which means good sense. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Wow. That in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, or in accordance with his own will. In the Amplified, where it says in verse 5, according to his good pleasure of his own will, the Amplified says, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent. That was God's heart for us. His heart for David was, that he should be, his throne should reign forever, and it will in Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ comes back to sit on his throne. But David, he made great promises to David. And if David's descendants would have stayed faithful and straight, they would have ruled and been prosperous as he was. Let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. There's so many in the Psalms. We can't read them all, but we'll read this one. It says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Again, this is a psalm of David and a prayer. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. The NIV says, where it says, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise, my thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. He's going through a rough period here. Because of the voice of the enemy, because the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Sounds like the world today. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander afar off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Sometimes things get bad in life and you just say, man, if I could just go find some deserted island, I could live there peacefully forever and the hell with all this, right? And that's what David is saying, Man, if I was a dove, I could just fly off. I could just get out of here and not have to deal with all this stuff. Because he had a lot of responsibility. He was the king. Verse 9, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife. Now, this is cool because you think, okay, the enemy is surrounding the city and he's got enemies on all sides, but read on and see what he's talking about. This is really crazy. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city, in Jerusalem. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also, and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. You know, if it was an enemy, if the Assyrians were attacking or the Philistines, I could have handled it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. It was, you know, a friend. Mm-hmm. It was somebody that he loved. And that's what hurt him. And that's why he's praying to God. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is their dwelling and among them. For as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. So, you know, he was dealing with this, you know, people in his city, people that professed to love God, but in reality did not. And he said, you know, morning, noon, and night, I'm praying. And God will hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. They have no changes, meaning they can't change their mind. You know, they can't renew their minds. They're just inflicted with negative, evil thoughts. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. And this is talking about this guy, his friends. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Or cast thy cares upon him. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. What a great thing. What a great God. And how Peter was so locked in, you know. And it's, you know, those are probably the most hurtful times when people just, you know, you think they're believers or you think they love you and they turn. You know, and then that's hard. So, but that's when you need God the most. We need God all the time. But the prayers of David and his heart for God and how he dealt with stuff is just so great. And how he just loved him. He poured out his whole heart before God. He didn't hide anything from God. He was just, this is me, God. You know me. And this is it. And that's how we have to be with God. We just go to him and we pour out our heart. So I think we're good for tonight. Close with prayer. If anybody wants to say anything, we'll finish up. Father God, we thank you for loving us, for your ears always being open to our prayers, for your tender mercies and kindness towards us, and how you just love us beyond all our imagination. And that we can just learn from you, God. We can just be meek to and humble to learn and be our best for you. We just thank you, God, for how you watch over us and keep us safe and love us so much. We thank you for our country, for keeping it free and prosperous and strong. We thank you, God, for the believers. We thank you for the believers here in our area and throughout Pennsylvania and throughout the country, that you just watch over them and love them and keep them safe. We thank you for those that are sick or in need, that you just help them and encourage them and show them that you're there for them. And we just thank you, God, that you are a God of might and miracles, and you are the Lord God of hosts. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.